When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast,
this one here,
where your artificial friends. Boom,
boom. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Larry Morgan is on assignment, but look what the cat dragged in.
We got somebody in the house today.
Like that huge bug on my back porch. The cats tore apart and brought in as a trophy. Sam Farmer's with us. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great. It's so much fun to be back.
Good to see you. And Josh Fligger is here with us as well. I'm Andy Chanley of the Indiana Chanleys. Mm-hmm. I'm doing fine. Who's full as a tick yet from
You know what? And because of the diet that I'm on, I just just jammed a ton of carbs in my body. When I was done, I felt so weird and so gross. It just didn't feel right.
For people that don't know, you're on the
no sugar, no grain,
NSNG diet. So you can eat all the fat and meat you want,
right?
But you can't have a single carbohydrate.
Yeah,
you can't have
any bread. I did nothing but eat carbohydrates and then polish it off with two pieces of pecan pie.
It's shocking how much of Thanksgiving dinner is bread.
Yeah,
oh, it's
all, or carbs.
It's
just all that.
The pie crust and all of that.
I was just making, of course, I had to, because I've stretched my stomach so much now, I had to make a lunch before I came here, grab a sandwich before I leave.
Oh, yeah. I had a tofurkey sandwich a little earlier. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
No, it doesn't.
He played but I was well, putting, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I was putting stuffing on top of bread, and I was saying I'm just layering bread on top of bread.
You know what I used to – people, you got to try this, and it sounds gross, but if you take two pieces of white bread and jam Doritos in it and eat a Dorito sandwich, seriously, it's good. But
did I mention this in the last one of the last episodes? Starbucks has a we talked about this, right? Don't ever tell Laura that I like it. She listens.
Yeah, never mind.
She's gonna hear about it. Yeah, it's turkey with a little bit of dressing and then a little bit of cranberry sauce on it.
I don't get that.
So backing up a step, we did it. The waffles.
Oh,
the dressing waffles.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't
tasted yours, but
you've done it.
No. But I've listened to it and I've lived it vicariously.
Sounds delicious. They're amazing, right? So you make like half a waffle, you know, stuffed with stuffing, and then one fried egg. There's that's a una fuerte.
Yeah,
it's really really good. And she will use half of it's like a quarter of a waffle, right? You know, splits the half into half. So quarter of it she'll have with the egg, and then the other quarter she'll have with the cranberry sauce that she loves. And she puts it right on top there. She's like, why do you look at that like I'm from Mars? That millions of people do that. Do you do that?
No, I absolutely not. But she is right, because my wife likes that. She likes the cranberry sauce on like a sandwich, with like a Thanksgiving sandwich. I look at it and I'm like, ew, that's just like grabbing a big gob of jelly and putting it on, a roast beef sandwich.
That's what I just ate. I just ate that. That's my favorite kind of sandwich.
What's the problem? Because it's the sweet that shouldn't get mixed in with that savory.
No, you're wrong.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
But her argument was that it's not actually that sweet, that there's a tartness to it.
Yes, I can see the tartness.
It cuts that a little bit and makes it not quite, you know, saccharinely sweet.
Maybe it's the color, too.
Because all
the savory stuff is in there. There's all like earth tones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the greens from the lettuce and the soft whites from the turkey. And then all of a sudden you got this weird purple or red. And it's, I don't know. I don't like mixing sweet and savory very much.
The stuff that my mom would make, the cranberry salad she would make, cranberry sauce, we would put it into a meat grinder, you know,
right.
Like just one of those crank grinders. So it comes out just pulverized.
Oh, right.
But they're like, you know, whole cranberries. So you get the outer skin of it, Mm-hmm. And then we would, you know, put in some oranges and some apples and so forth. Between the apple rind and the cranberry rind, it was, you know, just constantly getting stuck in your teeth. It was really pretty grainy.
I don't know, like, that I think about it, I don't think I've ever had homemade fresh cranberry sauce.
Really? Oh, yeah. Laura makes hers fresh. Yeah. She throws the cranberries in the pot, and it's kind of cool because they pop.
Really?
Yeah, well, one by one, they pop open when you get them hot.
What do you? I mean, do you put them in like water, or do you just throw them in a pot and like just themselves?
You put them in. I think you do. You boil them, and then after they pop, then you
Drain them.
Add a little bit of sugar and some orange juice, and I forget what else.
Yeah. Oh, and he.
My mom makes it, but I'm not sure how.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had it. I know my mother's going to listen to this podcast and be like, you fool, I've made it for 20 years or something like that.
Well, here's the thing. It gets a bad rap with her because she says, I hate it. I can't stand it. That's not true. It isn't on my first, you know, you fill up your plate for the first,
I know what you're saying, but I'm in your camp right now.
You fill up your plate for the first serving, and of course there's whatever the, you know, air quotes around the meat right. are, and then some mashed potatoes, perhaps some dressing, and some gravy and a vegetable of some sort, whether it's Brussels sprouts or green beans or whatever. So that's the first go around, right? And you know, some fresh bread.
You got that plate, the very first Thanksgiving plate, the very first round. That's valuable real estate on
right.
And you're going through there, and you're not going to go, oh, wait, I'm going to start with the cranberry sauce.
No.
In fact, when you get to the cranberry sauce, you go, oh, shit. And then you take your spoon, and you push your mashed potatoes to the side,
right.
and you create like a thumb-sized thing, uh-huh. and then you put it on there. Then you destroy everything on the plate.
Everything around.
And then you're like, oh, I guess I should eat this cranberry sauce. Right?
Right.
Oh, no. So I love it.
The second time around, I'm into it. I get a little bit of the cranberry sauce and have that alongside... So I don't hate it, but there's a time and a place for everything.
Well, I don't hate it either, but it's like one of those things that when I see it, I go, oh, good, cranberry sauce. Then I put it on, I try like two bites, and I'm like, oh, good, now I'll have to eat that again for another year. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's like, it's good, it's there, but I never crave it. Do you like go in the middle of summer and be like, oh, damn, I'd love a cranberry sauce turkey sandwich right now?
I don't. However, you know, we'll get those roasts and do those, you know, other times throughout the year, occasionally. And for her, it's, you know, like kissing her sister. She just, you know, she doesn't think it's any fun if you don't have the dressing and the cranberry sauce yeah. with it.
Now I've got to give some props here to my golfing buddy Pat Posey, who I've played with in several tournaments from Bristol Farms.
Oh yeah,
because Pat said, hey, we want to take care of you this Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
And, oh, man. So I went to Bristol Farms and picked up a Thanksgiving dinner, 20-pound turkey, the biggest turkey I've ever seen.
Is there a warmer sunshine than the basking in the glow of Pat Posey's love?
He is awesome.
Pat Posey
is awesome.
Especially this time of year.
He is the world's greatest.
How was the turkey?
Oh, it was phenomenal. Yeah. Turkey and... different kinds of stuffing, and I want to try this certain, you know, different mashed potatoes, gravies, I just went down like a pig, just checked everything off, checked every box, and it was phenomenal, and they had it ready. The manager of the store came out and brought it to me in two giant boxes.
Yeah, awesome. Well, they did it for us, too. You know, they reached out to, you know, because his
right
long relationship with Mark and you, and he said, you know, whatever you know, want, just
yeah,
you know, fill out the list and show up at Bristol Farms and we'll take care of you. And
you guys are going to be introducing me to him soon, right?
Yeah. Pat Posey, Steve Howard, and Adam Caldicott, who is the president of Bristol Farms. I got to thank all those guys.
I go in to get we're not going to have turkey in our house because it's a bunch of vegetarians. So I go in and it's like, well, I won't be needing the turkey. I won't need the green beans with the bacon. I won't need the giblet gravy. Could I have some corn salad? And
I'll take this rug.
And a bran muffin. And they're just looking at me like, what is fucking wrong with you? You got a blank check here. And you're just, yeah, you're getting some condiments. It was a waste on me.
Yeah, I brined my turkey this year for the first time.
And how was that?
It was awesome. It was amazing.
So what's the process? You bring in a bag?
I took a gallon of vegetable stock, right? And you mix that with a cup of kosher salt, like a tablespoon of black peppercorns.
That's a cup of salt.
No, yeah, but it's kosher salt, so it's not as bad as regular salt. But really? Yeah,
explain that to me.
But I'm diluting it. It's actually kosher salt isn't as potent as like table salt. That's why they tell you. I know this because I've actually substituted table salt for kosher salt one time and just completely ruined my oyster stew that I made. It was inedible. But anyway, it was that and like allspice, and then you dilute it with like another gallon of water and you just soak it in a Home Depot bucket for like 9 hours. And I got up at 6 in the morning, threw it in there with ice water.
Did you buy one at Home Depot?
Yeah.
Had the do it guy on the outside of it.
I just washed one out from the yard.
big orange bucket on my counter with a turkey in it. Yeah, it was awesome. It was really good.
Now, have you ever heard of the deep fried turkey?
Yes.
Is that something you've tried before?
To make or
eat? To make.
I've tried it.
I've tried. I've never tried to make. Yeah, I've helped people.
I haven't
make
done it yet, but I was somewhere where someone did it. It's pretty amazing.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
Yeah,
yeah. Right.
I'm not sure how I feel about the deep fried turkey. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's worth the labor?
I thought it was much faster, right?
It's faster, yeah.
Much faster.
Yeah, it's faster.
Yeah. I don't remember it being hugely different, except the skin was different.
Yeah.
It was still moist inside, if I recall.
Because it's chock full of grease.
Yeah, right.
What's the idea behind the beer can chicken? I've only heard of it. You take a beer can and you shove it up its ass.
No,
right?
you take a chicken, right? And you take I've made it a million times. It's awesome. And you stick a beer can and you drink half the beer, and then you stick it up its ass, and then you spread its legs so it's standing, right? With this can out its butt.
Oh, and then you're supposed to do it with the chicken?
Yeah.
I always thought it was uncomfortable, but I didn't realize you were supposed to put it in the bird.
I skipped a step.
I misread that.
But what it does...
Almost got it.
And then you throw it on the grill, and what it does is the grill heats up the you put it on what do you call it? What's the type of cooking where you cook half of the grill's on and the other half is off,
right?
And you put the chicken on the half that's off, so it's heating the air and circulating around it, but it's
convection
heating, yeah
convection,
convection something like yeah. that yeah. And then you heat what it does is it heats up the can and creates steam, so the steam it steams the inside of the chicken and it makes it really and while the outside is crisping up and it makes it really moist and juicy. It's awesome. It's really good.
And
but
and
does it have a beer taste?
No I you don't have to. First I used to use beer all the time, then I just started using water. It's all the same, you're just steaming it.
So what's the idea behind the turducken? That is the turkey duck chicken, right? Where you take a chicken and shove it up a duck's ass?
No, you take a chicken, stick it in a duck, and shove it up a turkey's
ass.
I've had that too. It's amazing. But I think what they do is they don't actually stick the duck and the chicken up each other's asses. I think they just take the meat from them and then jam it into the turkey's butt.
You know, there was a Thanksgiving game where it was 10 years ago, I believe. Randy Moss had a huge game. You know, it might have been 20 years ago. Might have been rookie season in Minnesota. He had a huge game on Thanksgiving, and they wheeled out the turducken. He was player of the game, and he grabbed a turkey leg and he took a big bite of it, and right on camera, and not realizing this thing had been sitting around for a week, oh, he just spit it out on the ground at Texas Stadium, like no trying to hide from the camera. I've been trying to find that video, but the reporters who were there just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Like he
does. What's his name? Phil Sims. Is he the one? Does he still make have his mom make a that
What?
Cobbler.
Oh.
Every year. You know what I'm talking about?
I knew Madden did Madden did the turducken.
It wasn't Boomer. Who was it? Somebody that they'll have this, you know, iron pan
yeah.
filled with cobbler, and whoever wins on Thanksgiving Day or whatever, whoever the MVP gets it. Yeah, like getting milk at the end of the Indy 500 or whatever that his mother made. I don't know if she's still with us or not, but I wondered if he still did that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You have no idea what I'm talking about?
No.
It escapes me. I wanted to do a John Madden thing this week, just catching people up on John, but he's got the flu right now, which is scary at that.
Sure. Well, you know, and how old is he now?
He's in his early 80s. 80s,
yeah. Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah, wouldn't think that he was that old.
Yeah, catch us up on what's been going on. Where'd you just come back from?
Let's see. I was in Kansas City.
For one of the best, maybe the best game
of
the
year. I was in L.A. for that game.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Which was, tremendous.
Rams-Chiefs game.
Rams-Chiefs, 54-51.
105 points.
105 points, 1,000 yards in that game. And
that's the game that kicked me out of the fantasy football championships.
Really?
Thanks,
guys. That was the best, one of the best games.
It was just like when they didn't score, the defense scored. You know what I mean? It was
right.
Did they even punt? Was there like how many punts were there?
There were a couple. Johnny Hecker of the Rams had a couple key punts, but not many. Not many punts in that game, and so that was tremendous. I was in Kansas City the week before. And saw the Chiefs play the Cardinals. It wasn't a great game, but I was there to do an Andy Reid story and a Patrick Mahomes story. I don't know. Did I come here between?
I think you were here before that.
I was in New Orleans before that. You know, I'll go to Pittsburgh Saturday.
You were here right after
or
New
Friday.
Orleans.
I'll go to Pittsburgh for the Chargers.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
Chargers Steelers.
That got bumped in the prime time.
That'll be good. The Andy Reid thing was fun because I had done some stuff on Andy Reid back in 2001. In fact, a story that ran, I think, 5 days before 9/11, 2001, was an Andy Reid story I did about him growing up in Glendale. But he had some... Glendale, California.
California.
He went to Marshall High School, and his dad was a scenic artist. So his dad painted the backdrop for shows at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion.
Oh, wow.
And Andy would always get jobs in the periphery of the entertainment industry as a young kid. And one of his jobs was dishing out meatballs, the Swedish meatballs that were made by the Nicola Twins market in Hollywood, in the green room of the Tonight Show. And young Andy would dish out the meatballs.
Johnny Carson.
Yeah, he said he.
Johnny Carson years.
Right, and he the Johnny Carson show, I guess at the time, and he would always give. He was only allowed to give 3 meatballs per person, and everybody through Hollywood came through through the green room. And he said, but if it was an athlete, if it was Wilt Chamberlain or something, he'd give him as many meatballs as he wanted. Well, one guy comes up and he wants more than 3 meatballs, and Andy, 12-year-old Andy, refuses, and it becomes a thing that this guy won't, and it's John Wayne. Wanted more than 3 meatballs. But Andy said, you know, if I had known he was an athlete at USC, I would have given him more meatballs. But it was just John Wayne, I didn't cut it. So,
what years would that have been?
That would have been, let's see, Andy's about 60, so I would say that would be the early 1970s.
Wow.
He did that. And so he had some great stories about, you know, he's a huge kid. I mean, he was huge.
Well, every year they show that clip of him as a... as a high school, not even high school, like grade school.
He was 12 years old.
12 years old. What is it, throwing the ball?
Yeah, pump, pass, and kick competition.
Pump, pass, and kick thing. And all of the other kids are, you know, 3 feet, 4 feet tall. And here he is, like 5-something already. And his helmet doesn't fit.
Oh, yeah. Had to get an actual Rams player's jersey to put on him. For the punt, pass, and kick competition.
Did he play in college?
Yes, he played at BYU. Played at Glendale College and then at BYU.
What position did he play?
He was a tackle.
All right.
And so But he said when he was a 12-year-old ball boy, some guys on the team who didn't know were giving him a hard time. Among them, Mike Haynes, the Hall of Fame cornerback, played for Marshall High School. And they said, "What? You're such a big kid. Why are you not playing?" He said, "I'm in sixth grade." And so he was the ball boy. But when he was 6 years old, he got in a fight with the varsity quarterback at Marshall on the sideline. So it's crazy. But it was really a fun story. And then I did the Patrick Mahomes story.
Did you talk to him?
Yes, talked to Patrick and talked to his dad.
What kind of vibe you get from him?
Great kid.
Yeah.
Really, really nice kid. I mean, and it was a hard, hard situation.
Yeah.
Because
was it the Cardinals game?
So I'm in the family box, in the Mahomes family box before the game, and there was everybody was kind of quiet, and I was with Lee Steinberg, who's Pat's agent, and somebody said that Patrick's girlfriend's dad had a health incident and was unresponsive. They had taken him from the box.
Oh, boy.
And then I went up to the press box and checked in at halftime, and he had died during the game.
Yeah.
So Patrick's playing in this game. So after the game, he didn't talk to the media or anything, and I wasn't going to write anything just because, you know, it was that was nice of him to let me be there. And in that family situation, it was a very delicate situation. So, but then the word got out, but he handled that very well. I mean, he's a really nice kid. But his dad, Pat Mahomes, who was a pitcher in the majors, told a story. I was trying to get a vignette that tells people that this guy rises to the occasion, plays well on the biggest stage. And Pat said, well, in the World Series, he said throughout the year when I was playing for the Mets, he said, I would always pitch to Patrick in the bullpen, which was 80 feet long and had a wall about 12 feet high. And he said, Patrick could never, he was 5 years old, he could never hit it over that wall. He'd hit shots, but they'd be right back at me. And he said, then we played in the World Series. And he saw they were setting up the ESPN set in right field, and Harold Reynolds and all those guys. And he said, all of a sudden, Patrick starts hitting him out of the bullpen as a five-year-old.
Wow.
And hitting him right up to the ESPN set. And so the next day, Harold Reynolds and those guys brought their gloves so they could catch the balls hit by
That's
young
great.
Patrick Mahomes. So
That's cute.
It was cute. It was an example, though, of how he rises to the occasion. So, yeah, that's fun.
He seems like he really loves the game.
Yeah, good kid, too. Really nice. He's got that weird kind of, I think we talked about it, his memory. My memory is not good enough to remember if we talked about this, but he's got the Mary Lou Henner thing.
Oh, this guy was just about to say Mary Lou Henner thing.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, so he can remember every play he's ever had.
And you watch him on the move, too. He throws that ball like a baseball, and he's really good at it, and he's accurate at it, and that's I think one of the great things about him is he's going to be really good on the move.
Well, and he's got that he's got some of the gunslinger mentality. You know, he reminds me a little bit though of Brett Favre in the way that he will, you know, shovel pass those kinds of, you know, just flick it up to whoever is
however,
you know,
to get
bubbled
there.
Up in front of him. That however he has to get it there, and he just seems to be even a little bit better at this stage in his career than even Favre was.
Yeah, I agree. And I was looking at the stats this morning, putting together my story for tomorrow, and I noticed that Andrew Luck was second in the league with 29 touchdown passes. So I thought, wow, that's nobody has more touchdown passes. Only one person, Patrick Mahomes, has more than Andrew Luck. And I checked, and Drew Brees is tied with Andrew Luck. So, I mean, they're both on a tear, both at 29 touchdown passes through 10 games or 11 games, and
which is especially amazing since many people thought he wasn't going to be able to ever throw the ball again,
and he hadn't been sacked in 5 games too.
Yeah.
But then I looked at Mahomes. Mahomes has 37.
Yeah.
So to be that far ahead,
seven of those against the Steelers in one game.
But it's an interesting week of games. Just looking at sort of this is the separation Sunday where we see teams start to. You know, they're going to go one way or another. I feel like the end of Thanksgiving is the start of the season.
All right, here I got a good question for you. What are the teams? What of the 500 teams right
Steelers.
Now?
Just a guess.
What of the 500 teams is going to make the playoffs?
I feel like the Colts. I feel like the Colts. They're a 5-5 team right now. They're heading the right direction. They've won four in a row. Andrew Luck's getting it done. They're a dangerous team with T.Y. Hilton back.
And apparently a running game all of a sudden.
Yeah, and they're always stingy.
How far back are they in the AFC South?
They're two games back, okay. But you know they might not catch the Texans, but they might be a wild card.
Might get a wild card. I tell you what, that is what's keeping, not to interrupt your answer, but that's what's keeping my head out of the oven. after being relegated to the beer bitch bowl in my main fantasy league, but after you're done with your answer to his question, we have to talk our fantasy football league. But go ahead.
Oh, well, I do want to remind you that if you're going to put your head in the oven, remember to take a half can of beer.
And jam a turkey or a duck and a chicken up your ass too.
So I like that team. I don't think, you know, I think that Carolina will probably make the playoffs.
I thought they were
going
to bounce back a little better after that Steeler game.
Yeah, they lost. They lost by.
Well, they blew on the last. That was the last play of the game.
Went for two.
Yeah. Yeah, right where he threw. Yeah. He had the guy open, but he threw it over his head. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, Seattle's got a chance. Seattle plays at Carolina this week, so that's a huge game. That's one of those teams is going to get knocked out. You know, you've got, you know, ultimately, I think whoever wins that game will go on to be a wild card team. I think that Minnesota. Green Bay is a huge game this week, but we're seeing a lot of these teams in the AFC that are sort of on the bubble. So there's a logjam at 5-5, and around that, 18 of the 22 teams or the 32 teams are 500 or better. So it's a big cluster there. Right. But the three highest scoring teams aren't playing this weekend: the Rams, the Saints, the Chiefs, and the Rams. Yeah. I think that's 1, 2, 3. So we're going
to
see.
It's a good weekend to build a shed.
Yeah, exactly.
All the Steelers are on national television.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So our fantasy football league that we're in, that producer Mikey curates.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Are you going to see him? I owe him $20.
I hope not. kidding. Love you, Mikey. You can just you can PayPal him.
I just don't know how to do that kind of stuff. I know he mentioned that, but I don't know how to do that.
Well, you might just want to make it 40.
Wait, am I going to be the last?
Yeah.
Last place?
Oh, yeah.
For sure?
Well, no. No, not for sure.
If I win this week.
Now, you have to win out, I think.
I beat Mike. Didn't I?
You did.
Which is like the biggest slap in the face.
By my 0.49.
He bitched about it. He goes, yeah, I'm going to get beaten by somebody who hasn't set a lineup in 3 weeks.
I was changing my name to the, I won by 0.49. I was going to be the 0.49ers.
And Mikey, just so you know, Mikey's the number one team in the league, right?
He was. He's number three now.
Oh, okay.
I'm number two.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You beat me last week.
Yes.
Badly.
And what's great? I perpetrated the only trade that's happened in this league all year.
Bitched about it.
I was unhappy about it. It's not.
He's still bitching about it.
I make the trade a fair trade, too, I think. Don't you think that was a fair trade? It was two starting running backs for.
I don't know. I really didn't even care.
Well, there you go. I make that joke, and he texts back to me, but it says I have to wait till Monday. I'm like, what? Because this was on like Saturday or whatever, or Friday. I'm like, you got to be kidding me! It was Friday night, and he has to wait till Monday for this shit. There's a 3-day lockout on it.
Yeah,
it just seemed weird to me.
I can't believe it. So, you're still pissed about it.
But it did finally go through. It did finally go through, and I'm perfectly happy with the outcome of it.
You know what? As long as you're happy. Thanks, Jeff. That makes me happy. Because I was a little concerned.
I'm happy, too. It's been great. It's been great for me, and it allowed me to beat Mike.
It allowed you to beat Mike. It was the one that I undressed verbally for quite a while.
Mike has messaged me several times. I feel terrible about it, but I've been sidetracked this season and lost track of the fantasy stuff, especially when I was out of these games. And Mike had said, you got to set your lineup. You've been starting guys that aren't
that are dead.
On their bye or are dead or out of the league. And so the one day I do set my lineup, I wound up beating him, who's the number one team in the league. And I thought, don't wake the sleeping giant.
So I was texting Mikey today, and we were talking. He was thinking about making a commitment to Argyle Sox. he's like, I think maybe I want to spice up my Sox life. And he was thinking about maybe going to asking for some Argyle Sox for Christmas, right? So I'm sitting there, taking a shower today, and I get this text, and he just said, we decided that me and Jamie looked at it, and I'm a White Sox guy, so I won't be getting any Argyle Sox. So I put on Red Sox, right? And I took a picture, and I sent him a picture of me and Red Sox, and I said, don't live in fear, okay? And he goes, you can pull this off, though, because you're a dad. A colored sock thing is a dad thing. And I'm like, my question to you, is a colored sock thing a dad thing?
Did he get sock cuckolded?
Sock-olded?
I don't know. Did he take this proposal, this sad,
yeah,
brave proposal to try to up his, the little bit
Seriously.
Of...
Well, I told him I was going to
ask... Grow some socks.
he said he looked down at it and he said he just... I don't think he can make that commitment to anything but white socks.
What?
And he explained that he believed colored socks... was a dad thing. And I was like, why? I don't think it is. I've always worn... I mean, you... Is that
no,
a thing?
No, it's not a dad thing. Now, wearing black socks,
yes,
and sandals.
And flip-flops, yeah, with shorts.
Which,
yeah.
You find me going out to the mailbox quite often. Oh, yeah. And such a thing.
I'd be surprised I have pants on sometimes.
That's interesting. Do you think that Mikey could pull off... and we should have Mikey on the line.
We can call him.
We can try to call him.
Oh, boy.
Should we?
He's going to want 20 bucks. I got his 20 bucks.
Don't tell him Sam's here.
Got his 20 bucks. Yeah, all way. Ixnay on the AMSAY.
Oh, God.
Let's call
Mike.
Him because he. We were literally chatting about, and I'm perplexed on his fear of colored socks.
He's not going to answer.
We'll try. Don't you live in fear either?
It's ringing.
It's ringing.
Hey, I'm away from my phone right now, but if you leave a message, I'll call.
Man. All right. You think he's screening because it was
know.
Me?
I don't know. Maybe, probably.
Two rings, and he's
away
from his
phone. I wouldn't answer if you called me.
I don't think you're away from your phone.
Oh, yeah. Mikey. Yeah.
He sent me to voicemail.
Yep. Yeah.
Bastard. He's still angry about the trade. do you think Mikey...
We love you, Mikey.
I love you very much, Mikey. Do you think Mike could pull off maybe like the bow tie or some other affectation? The ascots. The cane.
Suspenders. The suspenders like Robin Williams
rainbow,
and Bork.
Rainbow ones with little buttons on it.
As my friend Steve Rushen wears, he might be able to pull off the monocle.
Do you actually know someone that wears a monocle?
Well, he's got like a... Yeah. He does it for the affectation.
Does it have like the string and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Mikey, he wears glasses, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
Two monocles.
Or maybe the opera glasses. Will you hold them on a stick?
I'm going to go with just the two monocles. Just one eye.
Oh, yeah. Is it better in this eye or this eye? This eye or this eye?
The monocle, man. What happened to the monocle?
I don't know. Yeah. That's a great
you gotta be
idea.
A pretty,
Mr.
Yeah.
Peanut.
Mr. Salty.
Did Churchill wear a monocle sometimes?
I know Clink did.
I think he did.
Clink did.
Colonel Clink?
Yeah.
I see something. So let me ask you, Sam, what we talked about this a little bit last week, Josh and I. Now, the turning of the seasons from it's fair game to hear. I went into Lowe's yesterday to get more supplies.
How was it?
It wasn't bad.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was full, but it wasn't.
I'm referring to Black Friday, by the way, because people don't know.
People don't go to Lowe's on Black Friday.
Yeah, that's
so much,
true.
You know,
that's true.
So I kind of avoided all that. But anyway, rented a U-Haul to go out there and get one more piece of plywood I needed and a few things that were too long to you know put in my car. And they're playing the Christmas music.
Oh,
it's all they were playing.
Well, it's fair game now.
After Thanksgiving.
I even say after Thanksgiving dinner. Get the Christmas tree up. Once the dinner's
over. Is your tree already up?
No, today. I'm putting it up today.
Today?
Wow. Yeah. No, I always do it. After Thanksgiving.
He's got the plastic tree. Now, what do you have?
I'd like to have a plastic tree, but I don't.
Do you do no tree?
We do a tree. We go out and buy a tree, but I think this is the last year for that. I think we got to get a good plastic tree, although we don't have a great place to store one.
Why is that? Why do you want to not do it anymore?
I don't think it's not doing it. You can make it look pretty good. And
It's because you don't think the fullness and roundness and symmetry of the tree is easy to accomplish with the real one?
I don't think you can have a perfectly symmetrical tree because I think it looks really phony then. If you can have something.
Right.
They're expensive. Those good artificial trees.
Aren't they a giant pain in the ass too? Because then you got to wrap it up and throw it away, and it's a giant.
No. I think the artificial trees are expensive. The other trees are expensive too. Every year, yeah. So if you're looking for the long term investment, I would go with the simplify my life, not have to vacuum the rug, drag it in.
I love everything
every year,
this man is saying.
And everything can be simulated. Just get a can of spray and make it smell.
Exactly. I mean, this day and age, my wife bought candles, wax candles, with the
battery in them.
Yeah, and it's actually made of wax, and it looks like a candle. And I'm like, well, if we can do that, let's do.
We live in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, this is we're superficial like that.
Wow. I don't know, man.
I love the fake look of it.
I need if I don't get some sap on my wrists. It just doesn't feel like that.
I don't know if that's a euphemism or not. I think that
where is this going? I don't know. Are we still talking about trees?
We watched our first, and we're talking about this. We should give people a timestamp because you were talking about games this weekend, so you don't look like a fool when this is available next Thursday or whatever. We're talking on Saturday after Thanksgiving. Last night. Friday after Thanksgiving, the night we watched our first holiday film.
I got three of them, and did you see what was on last night?
What?
The Grinch. What Santa Claus is coming to town? And
they were all on last night.
Frosty Snowman.
Wow. I recorded
them all.
They're gonna show them again, right?
I don't know. I don't work at the network.
Why do you have to be such a bastard about it?
I'm just saying. I don't know.
Fuck you, Christmas spirit. I don't care.
What is it about the human sort of condition, though, that it's important for us to see it when it's on? Because, of course, we can always rent those movies or we can have it. But you want to see it in the collective, what is it?
You see
why
it with the commercials, that you know,
it makes
and all
it
that
more
kind of
special,
stuff. It makes
it
feel like it did when you were a kid, I think.
Right. No, that's a good point.
Yeah, I get them off because I got them on the DVR, December 26th, it's like red button, delete, get those things off, because it's Christmas is over, we're not watching The Grinch anymore.
We have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in our DVR for 3 years.
You know what we forgot to talk about, that we haven't talked about yet, but it's perfect, is did you see what's coming out, what's going to be in theaters this year?
The Grinch?
No. Emma Daughter's Jug Band Christmas.
What?
Coming back for 2 days in December.
No.
Yes.
Where?
Oh, wow.
Theaters all across the country.
Really?
Yeah, you look
talked
up,
about that. Yeah.
It's a miracle.
But it's only two weekends. It's I think it's a Sunday and one's a Monday, and there's only maybe two showings of those days, so they might be sold out.
Wow.
Emma Daughter's Jug Band Christmas.
It's a classic. And what's the other one? We're going to have to talk about all this stuff come Christmas again. Mm. We can't shoot our entire wad right now.
Shoot our entire wad of sap.
On our wrists.
Yeah, exactly.
what was I going to say? That just drew.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Seared through my mind.
You guys watched something?
Oh, yeah. We watched our first movie last night. It's a new one called The Christmas Chronicles. It's with Kurt Russell as okay. Santa. And who else is in it? It's a family thing.
It was on Hallmark.
His son, Oliver Hudson, is in it. Who's on that Breaking Up Together show and was on Nashville, that series. There's another family member that makes a cameo. I won't spoil Kurt Russell's Christmas by divulging who it is.
You can go ahead. I'm not going to
watch it. It was okay. It was cute. The kids wanted to watch it. So it was
what channel was it on?
Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was cute enough.
I can watch Elf anytime.
Elf is amazing. Yeah, you can watch that in July and enjoy it. Francisco. So what is it? We've talked about this before. We talked about on the last Christmas episode, but that's too late. You've got to be starting now, getting your Christmas movies in, especially if you lead any kind of working life. You've got to get it in. Start getting them in this weekend. So what is first? I know what I already have.
We've
mine picked
about
up.
This.
What is the first on your list? Christmas movie, a must watch every year.
I'm not a Christmas movie guy. I'll watch them if they're on, but I don't specifically put one on. I'm more of the shows. I'm more of the Rudolphs and Grinch and Charlie Brown stuff. But
see, I'm with Sam. You got to get Elf in.
I'll watch it. I mean, but it's going to be on 6,000 times between
you
here.
You can't watch because they even edit that for TV, I think.
But I'm just the type of person, I don't put movies in. I just don't sit. I go and I watch. If it's on, I watch it. I don't go and be like, okay, now's the time I'm going to watch The Untouchables or something like that. I don't do that. I just don't do that.
Well, Untouchables isn't on my list. It's not on my list.
I told you last year what my favorite Christmas movie was Die Hard.
All right. Yeah. That's right.
It's a Wonderful Life. I'll always watch that.
Well, that's my first one. Mm-hmm. And did you hear there's a new, I think it's on Amazon Prime, a new HD version of it.
No.
I can't wait. I want to see it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Because I have it. It's behind you somewhere on one of these DVDs. But I'll spend $5 to see it in HD.
Oh yeah.
Because that black and white, just so much better.
Have you messed around with the thing on, like, our TV has something that you can take the smoothing element away from it, and it makes everything look like a soap opera,
that's
sort of live.
Yeah,
it's
you
kinda
don't.
Fun. I kind of like it.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh God, it takes me out of it. I can't watch it. I can't watch TV with the soap opera effect.
I don't know. I have no idea. You talking about Channel U?
No. When
Channel V under the dial.
Have you ever been in Best Buy or something like that, and you're looking at the TVs and they look hyper real, and you'd be looking at a show that you know is high production value on NBC or whatever,
right?
And you're looking at it, and it's like, it looks like it's from Telemundo.
Yeah.
This looks like
that's the first time I saw a 4K, I think. My brother put on Star Wars A New Hope, and I was like, Jesus, that just thing looks like a cardboard box behind it.
Right.
You know what I mean? With like crappy little buttons. I'm like, these sets look terrible.
That is the soap opera effect.
Okay.
And it's the smoothing in between the interlacing of the frames or whatever. They take that out, or they put it in. I don't know which way it is.
I think it's like they take the sweetening out or whatever it is. I like watching and pretending I'm a live studio audience.
Now that is a great look for if you're watching a sporting event.
Yes.
Where the definition is off the chart. Then it's great. But where you can see tiny little things in the crowd when they show a college stadium or something like that.
Right.
But no, for any time I'm watching anything else, it makes it look so fake that I can't enjoy it.
See, I like it because it just is a curveball. It's a little bit different way to watch Step Brothers, which I've seen 4,000 times. I'm going to do it like I'm on the set watching it. And I kind of like that. I can't watch everything that way, and I have switched stuff back to the smoothing effect. But, to see a sitcom or something like that it makes it feel like it's a live thing going on. I kind of like it.
It's so weird to me.
Have you not seen, you don't, We should go in at some point and switch a show to there. So
I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen the thing that you're talking about, but I know I've seen it look so hyper clear that you're like, this just looks. I feel like I'm on the set of a bad play.
Yeah, it looks like it's a little videotape.
It's indescribable. Yeah. It's so subtle. The change is so subtle.
It looks
subtle.
Like it was shot with a high-definition videotape machine.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That where everything is, the contrast is so, you know, all the whites are really white. You know, everything, all of that.
It's not gauzy like a production.
Yeah. And so, they didn't put Vaseline on the lens.
When are you going to decorate? When are you going to start decorating?
Well, that's the thing, is we do the real tree, right? So you can't have that indefinitely.
Yeah.
You know, after four weeks of it.
Time it out.
Yeah. So we're not doing it this weekend. We're doing it next weekend. And I also have to time it out because I'm supposed to have a hip surgery on the 19th. So I want to have a couple weeks before I have to, you know, haul that sucker out of there.
Right, right.
So yeah, it's going to be the first Saturday or Sunday in December. Right. Plus, I need another weekend to finish this godforsaken shed.
God, I just hope it gets done.
Me too. Well, you haven't been much help.
It's not my shed.
Yes, but I got.
Oh,
I got,
so he started the shed going, you know what? Me and Josh are going to build this shed together.
I got the distinct flavor that you were all excited about it. And I.
Just think, we're literally, you're coasting to the finish line now. I don't know what you need me to do. You guys,
well, not much anymore. Thank you very much.
Exactly. What do you want me to do?
By the way,
stand around and look pretty and hold the hammer for you?
Imagine. Some of the stuff I had to do, like, to because it's right up against my neighbor's yard, my neighbor who I hate. so, like, the last plank of 10-foot-long plank of siding, take that out over the top of the back of it, you know, once I got the joists up for the roof, and
right.
Hold those up while I take a drill and do that, and then hammer it in with a nail that I had in my mouth.
Okay,
when
did you do this?
Last weekend.
What time? When? What day? What time?
Last Saturday.
Was it during the Steeler game?
Last Saturday.
What was last Saturday? Oh. Last Saturday was something.
He had plenty of time to think of what a great friend you were.
Yeah.
couldn't wait to see that shed next week when it's all done.
No, Josh was here for a little bit.
I was
for the ceremonial.
We got
it was there like for 2 hours, 2.5
we did
hours.
We
drank some beer.
What do they do in a building when they a
Christen
construction
it?
Site?
Well, they lay the cornerstone.
But at the top of a scaffolding, don't they put a flag up or something?
But during this time of year, they put up a Christmas tree.
A Christmas tree. That's it.
You need
that's
to put
right.
a time capsule in there in the wall.
You put a tree at the
I
top.
I should put like a little Lego Christmas tree up at the corner.
Yes.
While I'm building it. the end is near, and I don't mean in an apocalyptic way. Although it
and
could be.
All of our listeners sighed. Thank God.
It's coming, and there's still so many jobs to do. But got to get some trim up today. The rest of the siding. And get that roof up on there. I bought the shingles and the tar paper.
Is there anything that
I can't
we,
do? No, there isn't.
And by we, I mean Josh, can do for you today to help you finish this.
Well, sure there is.
Well, thanks, Sam.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Anywho, I got to be running, guys.
We didn't get to it today. We didn't any phone calls, but the YAF line, in case you want to reach out, 626-657-6428. Go ahead and get your phone ready. I'll give that number to you again so you can enter it into your phone, YAF line, and any time of day or night, you can leave a message, 626-657-6428 or PM hat.
And we didn't get to, we'll have to get to a face bag next time too.
Oh, we have some face bag to get to? Okay, next time. Right. Next time for sure. Sam, how can people get a hold of you if they want to know more about your...
I can be reached at LA Times Farmer on Twitter or at sam.farmer@latimes.com.
You, Josh?
You can shoot me an email at joshuajflieger@gmail.com. And you got look us up on Facebook too, like our Facebook page.
Yeah, you're artificial friends. Yep. Hey, has the logo changed?
No, why did you screw it up again?
No, I just wondered if it ever changed.
Oh,
Is it
yes.
right?
Yes, it's right.
It's right now?
It's been right since like on 8
iTunes?
Months ago.
On iTunes?
Really?
Oh, wait, are you talking about iTunes? Oh,
no,
I don't know.
It's still not right?
Yeah, it is. No, it's right on iTunes.
It's still the prehistoric.
Prehistoric. No, it's right on iTunes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Which one are we talking about? The red one? The white?
Yeah, red and white. Red, black and white one.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, good.
That got fixed a long time ago.
Good.
Do you pay attention to this podcast?
I'll show you after the podcast.
It's always been right on mine.
On what, your iTunes?
Yeah, when I pulled up my iTunes, even earlier.
It's right on your iTunes. It's right on everybody's iTunes.
No.
It's not going to be like...
It was right on mine, but everybody else was saying they didn't get it, and I just thought it was because I had the account.
There.
I'll be damned.
Yep.
Now call that up.
Pull it up?
Yeah, pull it up.
What do you mean?
Like, press on it.
But search it on iTunes.
Look what it says.
Not interested anymore. Okay. Yeah, go visit us on Facebook at Your Artificial Friends, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Anything else? Did I miss anything?
It's a good time.
It was a good time. Good to see you again, Sam.
Yeah, so great to see you.
Miss you.
Yeah, I miss you guys too.
People that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships, and they're over. Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Do you think you could use that harmonica holder and do it Bob Dylan style next time?
Is it? Well, is it in the key of G?
I don't know. You wrote it.
Can you hand that to me? I don't even know if it's in the right key. Let me see.
No, I mean not. No, let's save it. Cliffhanger. Save it for next time.
Okay, for next time.
Yep.
All right, I'll bring out the harp.
Yeah.
I'm going to burn some harp next time.
Grab a hammer,
burn,
Josh.
Burn harp.
Yeah. Hey, get an apron. Let's get started, everybody.